you're talking about it.
It's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, top of the morning. It's an open phones Friday, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. That's 1-800-529-KBOI. So if you want to be part of the show, we'll talk about whatever's on your mind today. All I got to do is give us a call, 336-3700. There's been a lot in the news lately about people on airplanes. Had the woman who just opened the door and got off of an airplane while it was still moving.
That was hilarious because you saw it from across the tarmac, and she jumped out and just took off running back to the terminal.
Yep. I can't take it. Can't take it anymore. And then, of course, the guy who stood up and was yelling at Clinton supporters on an airplane or people he assumed, I guess, to be Clinton supporters. And he was obvious. Well, I don't know if he was drunk or not, but he certainly was.
Let's put it this way.
Vocal.
If he was not drunk, he needs some help.
Yeah. All right.
And if he was drunk, he also needs help.
Yeah. Here are the absolute worst people to sit next to during an airplane flight.
Are these types or individual people we know the names of?
Types.
Okay, good.
So here, I want to know how many of these you've sat next to. There are seven different categories.
All right. I haven't flown nearly as much as you, but I'll give it a shot.
I've sat next to all of them. Number one, the drunks. A classic mistake passengers make is treating their flight experience like a booze cruise. Mm-hmm. Many people think that making it past the gate agent is the magic checkpoint to start the party.
Yeah.
Drinking will not help you fall asleep. If that's why you're doing shots before you get on the plane, what booze will do is make you loud and annoying to other passengers.
All right. I do not think I've ever sat next to somebody who was really drunk on a plane.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Mean people.
Probably, it's probably just luck.
Yeah. Mean people. Why do you have to be mean to people who don't even know you?
Been next to a mean person.
Yeah, I have. No one on the plane is to be blamed for your bad mood, so none of them deserve to be victimized. Being humble and kind will get you a lot more than whining and complaining during the entire flight. Boy, and I've sat next to mean people on several occasions.
I've sat directly behind mean people.
Yeah?
Also.
Yeah. And had them behind you, right? Kicking your chair?
No, not usually.
Yeah.
People usually don't have a problem with my chair.
Stinky passengers.
All right.
A man was not allowed to board because he smelled too bad. The airline denies the allegation, but there's a video showing a staff member telling him that the crew and the passengers had been complaining about the way he smelled. He was told that the captain had the right to refuse him, that he simply would not be flying today, and that he should take a shower.
I don't believe I've sat next to that particular individual either. I can't speak for the people in my row.
I have. I've sat next to those guys.
All right.
Those were the contagious disease. I'm not sure I sat next to anybody with a contagious disease.
I've been next to somebody who had a bad cold, so that's close enough, I think.
I think that, well, colds are contagious.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Might not be a disease, but they are contagious.
So when you're coughing in an airplane, they recirculate those germs, you know. I've gotten colds and the flu after going on flights.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Yeah.
And also visiting like grade schools.
Yeah. Screaming kids.
Yes.
That's any flight into Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can't really blame a baby for crying. Well, a lot of times because of the pressure in their ears.
Their ears pop and they don't really get what's going on.
Yeah. It could be hungry, tired, or uncomfortable. They can't express their dissatisfaction in any other way. Anyone older than 3 years old should understand that screaming for hours doesn't do any good.
However, the people we're talking about are generally under 3 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I know you should always, if you have them young enough that they're still on the bottle, give them the bottle because when they swallow, it clears their ears.
That was the first people, too, by the way. Old enough to be on the bottle.
Yeah, exactly. 6, those obstructing your view.
Oh, yeah, no problem there.
Yeah. Congratulations for having the ability to grow long and beautiful hair, but you don't have to hang it over the seat blocking the TV of the person behind you.
Yeah.
That's just rude if your hair's in the way, making you restless, use a scrunchie.
And they won't let you bring scissors on.
No. Darn. And then they talk about guys that miss the toilet seat. I'll tell you the one. Okay, that's all they have there. The one that always bothers me is the chatty Kathy. You know, you want to take a nap or something.
And they just want to talk.
And I want to tell you their whole life story.
I'm okay with those generally because I don't usually sleep on planes, and it's fine if somebody talks.
And you don't care if they tell you their whole life story? They usually don't want to hear that.
I don't know. It depends on how old they are.
Well, yeah, and it depends on their life story, too.
Well, true.
KBOI News Time, 8:45. Time to check right now traffic. Speaking on business. Listen each Tuesday and Thursday, 7 to 8 a.m. and 5 to 6 p.m. on KBOI, sponsored by Zions Bank. We haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Here's Ron. All right, we're back, 8:51. Let's go to the phones on our Open Phones Friday. Randy of Magic Valley. Randy, good morning. How you doing, Randy?
Good. Sorry. Did you caught me off guard? Hey, you know, as far as Boise State football is concerned, you know, I don't know if the committee will notice or care, but, you know, are we really the best team in the Mountain West? And, you know, they snubbed McNichols, and I say to myself, well, when it comes to being a pro, McNichols probably could be as durable or better than Brian Hill, and Pumphrey may or may not be able to hold up.
And, Pumphrey will be a slot back. He'll be a third down back receiver, and he doesn't catch the ball that well, so he'll have trouble in the pros.
Right, and so, and let's face it, you know, McNichols, he seems so durable. It's unbelievable. So, the best team in the Mountain West, McNichols. And then as far as a bowl, are we destined to go to the MAC and play some the Akron Zips? Or can't we play somebody from the Big 12, the Big 10, the Pac-12? I mean, somebody that, you know, we could actually get to, you know, it would be a good game. I'll hang up and you can
comment. At the level of the bowl game we'll be going to, we will have no say about who we play. It'll be whoever the bowl game people invite.
Well, and Randy's point, and I agree with it, is the fact that we're one of the more attractive teams out there at 10-2 and been ranked in the top 25 most of the year, just outside of it now. Personally, I think we'll go to the Cactus Bowl and play Baylor or TCU.
That would be great.
Somebody like that. But see, those are 6-6 teams, but like Randy says, they are from you know, Power 5 conferences.
Exactly.
I'd rather do that than, let's see, if you went to the Poinsettia Bowl, that's BYU.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the Vegas Bowl, you'd probably get an Arizona State.
We're going to know all the bowl pairings on Sunday, right?
Yeah. Sunday, yeah. So, I think the Vegas Bowl's in play. I think the Cactus Bowl's in play. I think it'll be one of those two. Could be wrong. I'd hate to see him go to the New Mexico Bowl. Bob Davey wants to stay there, so I think he will. And, of course, Hawaii will be in the Hawaii Bowl. So there's not too many choices left.
Yeah.
And we've already played BYU. We won't go to the Poinsettia Bowl.
I would guess we would.
Yeah. I would not think that would be the key. And as far as McNichols goes,
well, I mean, technically he wasn't snubbed. He was the second team all-conference running back, and we might argue that he was better than Pumphrey, but Pumphrey's had a lot more he's had more headlines this year, let's put it that way.
Okay, see, that's where I was going. Yeah. They promote him. Boise State does not promote McNichols. They hang their hat on his numbers should tell the story. Well, no, you've got to promote him. Well, I'm a Heisman Trophy voter.
I understand.
And I get all kinds of electronic media stuff from from other schools with running backs, including Donnell Pumphrey from San Diego State.
Sometimes it's the view of the school, and sometimes it's the head coach who doesn't want to promote any individuals for the sake of the team spirit.
You've got to promote him. If he comes back next year, before the season starts, they got to start promoting him. It's ludicrous that they don't, and then they cry and whine because he doesn't make first team. When Wyoming promotes Hill and San Diego State promotes Pumphrey. Pumphrey's getting it because of what he's done in the past. The six teams that they played in common, 1,000 yards rushing from McNichols, 740 yards for Pumphrey against the same competition. Big difference. Plus, McNichols catches the ball, Pumphrey doesn't. He's got a few passes, not many. And he's going to have to work on that skill if he goes to the NFL because he'll be a slot back slash receiver type third down guy. So there's my rant.
No argument there.
Yeah, I think it's a shame that they didn't promote J-Mac. It's just a shame.
More than they did. Okay, quick instant message here. Bill of Boise says, for 4 days, city parking officers slapped tickets on an SUV parked 3 blocks from the Broward County Courthouse. When Carolyn White noticed the pile of citations, she wondered what was going on. She stepped closer to the car to peek inside. Oh, my God, please tell me this man is not dead, White thought.
Yes,
the medical
examiner
would not pinpoint the date of death.
But
that'd be tough to see.
Yeah.
But apparently some city workers had seen him in there and just left him there.
But gave him tickets.
Well, yeah, $160 in parking tickets.
I don't think they'll collect that. 8:56, news break coming up. More Idaho Talks Live on our open phones Friday will follow. All right, we are back on an open phones Friday. It is 9:06. Let's go to Rich in Boise. Rich, good morning.
Hey, well, did I just hear on your news that Trump's inheriting the best economy since 2007?
Yeah, I actually had brought that unemployment figure up.
We'll see what you just watch the next couple of years, what happens to that number. But one thing they were talking, I think it was earlier this week, about a couple of his tweets. One of them was on the flags thing, which that's a possibility. I mean, you could change that, constitutional amendment, judges, whatever, that could be changed. But the other thing was him saying that there was 3 million illegal votes cast for him. That came from that Alex Jones guy.
Yep.
You know, and like all these statements that Trump makes and backs down on him, you know, people say, well, he backed down on him, but they were ridiculous things to have said in the first place. I think there's something wrong with him. I mean, he gets this news from this Alex Jones. What next? What will it take for you guys? If Trump starts coming up and talking about chemtrails, you know, I think he believes all this crazy stuff that he says. I don't think he's just saying stuff and backing down on it. I think when he says it, I think he believes it, you know, and I think that's the problem.
Yeah, and I've looked at a lot of different headlines in papers that support Trump and are against Trump, and every single story that I saw had somewhere in the headline or sub-headline statement made with no proof about the 3 million illegal voters.
Well, yeah, he's done that all through the campaign. He would just tell bold-faced lies every time he spoke in things that were provable. I mean, things that you could just look up and prove, and they just came off these internet conspiracy sites. I mean, does he believe this stuff, or is he just doing it for publicity? I mean, I don't know. I think there's something wrong with him. I think he believed that Obama was born in Kenya. I don't think it was just a stunt. I think he's got some sort of problem to make these, to believe these crazy things and pass them on.
Well, whatever he's got, it's working for him because...
Yeah, I was going to say, if it was a stunt, I think the stunt was successful because, you know, he got elected president.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but suppose he's just mentally ill and he makes up these, and he believes these things.
Well, see, now you're making a statement with no proof.
Well, no, but, well, What do you mean? I mean, the guy that makes all kinds of crazy, repeats all kinds of fake news that's going to be president of the United States, and saying that he might be mentally ill for doing it? I don't think that's too crazy.
Well, see, you're kind of...
No sane person would say those things.
Well, you're kind of throwing a towel over all the Trump supporters, many of whom believe the same things, especially if he says them. They can't all be mentally ill. I mean, you know, they can't. Sorry about that.
I don't know. A guy says crazy things and continuously says them, saying that he's mentally ill, I don't think that's too far out of the question.
Right.
There's got to be a reason why he's saying all this stuff.
Well, he's saying all this stuff for, like Chris says, he's saying it for publicity, and he's saying it to support his beliefs. We got to move on. Thanks, Rich.
Real quickly, though, I would say about that, I have never, and this is why, I've told you I don't much care for practical jokes and things like that, simply because if you are told something by someone whom you might trust, or you read something that you have no reason to believe isn't true, and you believe it, I don't think that makes you mentally ill.
Right.
If it's a complete lie and it's easy to figure out, then maybe, you're just not paying attention, or perhaps, you just don't know what you're talking about. But the fact is, somebody lying to you and you believing it, I don't think makes you a bad person or a mentally ill person.
If you pull the wool over my eyes, so to speak, it might mm-hmm. just mean I trust you.
Yeah.
And
that's, again, that's why it's difficult for me to like practical jokes, because yeah. you're essentially...
They betray your trust.
Well, yeah, you're essentially betraying someone's trust. And I know I get criticized for that every time I say it, because people say, can't you take a joke? Well, it kind of depends, really.
Yeah, it does.
If it's a clever joke, I can take that.
Let's go to William in Garden City. William, good morning.
Good morning. You know, I'm just waiting until after Trump is inaugurated and the first jobless rate comes out there, and they start adding in those that aren't counted in the job market now, because they say that, they need an average of 180,000, 185,000 jobs to maintain those that are coming on the market as well as those going out. But yet they come out with a figure that's less than that, and the numbers still go down.
Yeah. All right. I got the, where are you on a jet?
No, I'm sitting out here in the roadway.
No.
But, I know that when they start adding those back onto them that aren't on the job right now, that they aren't counting in the market, I just know that that figure about that 4.6 is going to go up to 7, 8.
Just because of the way it's reported?
Exactly, because that's the way they count them now, just like they count... They count people at the border when they turn them back from coming in the country, and they count them as being deported. So that's not a good figure either.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Thanks, William. And here's the story. U.S. economy added 178,000 jobs in November. The Labor Department reported today the unemployment rate fell sharply to 4.6% from 4.9% in October. The lowest rate since August 2007. Unemployment has been at or below 5% for nearly a year as more people have been returned to the job market and hiring has maintained momentum. November was the 74th consecutive month that America added jobs. The positive momentum we've seen in the labor market is continuing as 2016 comes to a close, said Sam Bullard, senior economist for Wells Fargo. Wages rose 2.5% in November from a year ago, though that marked a slight slowdown from October. The unemployment rate dropped for three main reasons. The number of jobless workers decreased, while the number of people with jobs increased. The total size of the labor force, which includes both employed and unemployed people, also decreased. Together, those three factors pushed the unemployment rate down. Our best answer here is that more people stopped looking for work, says Steve Chanarone, a portfolio manager at Federated Investors. The headline numbers here are okay, but the underlying numbers are less rosy. So he agrees with what Williams said, that a lot of people had taken themselves out of the job market because they quit looking for jobs. But still, the total number of jobs are up. So
up is better than down.
Up is better than down. Trump's jobs promises have been in the spotlight for the week. He reached a deal Tuesday with Carrier to keep about 1,000 jobs in Indiana that were slated to go to Mexico. It was Trump's first key post-election victory.
And Mexico issued a statement about that.
Yeah, they did today.
They said they were disappointed that Carrier was not coming to Mexico, mm-hmm. and they were disappointed for Carrier's customers who would be finding that the prices of the Carrier items would not be going down as they would if you move the factory to Mexico.
Yeah, where labor is cheap.
Basically, they were trying to tell us, we're proud of the fact that we don't pay anybody anything.
Yeah. Trump's broader message behind the Carrier deal was to increase the number of manufacturing jobs in America. This could prove difficult. Manufacturing employment was flat in November and has been down most of the year. KBOI News Time, 9:15.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Got an odd list here.
All right.
Just least popular Christmas songs. Like Violent Night.
Yeah.
I'm Dreaming of an Alt-Right Christmas. I Saw Romney Kissing Santa Claus.
Walking Around in Women's Underwear.
Hark the Harold Ramis Sings.
Oh.
It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like ISIS. I'll Be Home for Christmas, But I'll Be Drunk and Abusive. All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth and Others I Lost Doing Meth. Little Saint Nick Cannon. Silver and Goldman Sachs. Grandma Got Run Over by a John Deere. Please please Go Home for Christmas. Let's see. And it says, Do You Hear What I Hear by Marley Matlin. Yeah, I can understand why that would
be. Yeah, that's not. So. See, now that's politically incorrect.
Well, I mean, of course.
You're going to have this show closed down.
Yeah.
Because of your insensitivity.
I think my favorite there was I Saw Romney Kissing Santa Claus, because that one's just the funniest visual image. Or either that or All I Want Is My Two Front Teeth and the Others I Lost from Meth.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's kind of clever.
Yeah. Let's go to Scotty of Middleton. Scotty, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome back.
Glad to be back. I'll tell you, sir. Over there, I begin to wonder what country I've been living in for the last few years, because the reports that were given out by the BBC, it made me wonder what America I was living in. They definitely have no time for Donald Trump, because the upper class over there are scared. I mean, these are the same people that stabbed old Winnie in the back during the Second World War. But the reports that I got, there was one woman who I believe she comes from Minnesota. She had been elected, I believe, to either the Senate. And she was telling people how she was a refugee from, I think it was Sudan, I think it was, or some of these countries. And how when she gets to the Senate, she is going to fight for her people's rights. Apparently, they're not getting their rights in the United States. Otherwise, everything else, the food over there is cheaper, definitely, than what we've got here. Gasoline, you know, gas or petrol is a lot more expensive, believe mm-hmm. you me.
You know, I filled up yesterday, and not at Costco either, where I usually go for gas. I filled up at the Fred Meyer on Chinden Boulevard for $1.99 a gallon.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it was costed me that or over that for a liter.
Yeah, for a liter, yeah. Whoops.
There's 4 liters in a gallon.
Yep.
Or 4.5.
So $8
anyway,
a gallon.
Sir, I tell you, these people over there, they're scared of Trump. Because the working class over there, I mean, the three parties that are in power, the party in Scotland, I mean, they're running around. They've got people by the name of Salmon and another one by the name of Sturgeon. And I kept telling the people over there, you know, hey, there's something fishy going on here. We converted a few people to the American way of thinking. We've got a man in there that I believe will do something for the working class. Anyway, gentlemen, hey, it's good to be back. Good to listen to the program. I used to wonder when I looked at the clock. I used to say to myself, I wonder what they're discussing back in Boise.
Now
anyway,
you know.
Guys, hey, love your program. By the way, did you get the card?
Yeah, that was cool.
Good. Okay, well, that's no me that's in it, I can assure you. That's some other guy.
All right, Scotty, thanks. That's amazing. He's amazing.
Mike.
Rewards code. Jobs. J-O-B-S.
Okay.
Go to 670KBOI.com. Enter Jobs. Earn today's 5,000 rewards points. We do have open lines if you want to call in. 336-3700. We're going to take a news break, and we'll be back. It's 9.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 937. Open phones Friday. Give us a call. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on Verizon Wireless. Let's go to Jim of Boise. Jim.
Morning.
Hi.
I've noticed all the Arizona State commercials you're running.
Yes.
I'm kind of surprised that maybe you guys should be worried that the entire BSU student body would drop out and take ASU courses from their basement computers.
I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
I'm glad you're calling about this. What do you think about these ads?
Well, number one, I'm wondering why is it only Arizona State? And why are they so, it's like every commercial break. You know, why are they pushing it so much and why is it only Arizona State?
Is it, do you listen on the internet?
No.
Yeah, on the internet, I know that there are different sponsors on the internet. I want to know, it says, get the same degree you'd get if you attended Arizona State University.
They also say in there in the top six or something.
Yeah. For some reason, I'm just going, I don't get this. I don't get how you can. I guess I'm an old guy.
Well, I don't get the whole thing.
Yeah.
If it were me, I mean, I'd go back to the good old days where the college experience and there wouldn't be computers. But that's just me, you know.
Well, see, I mean, you went to college, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that the most fun 4 years of your life?
Absolutely.
I mean,
And, you know, Chris, a while back, Chris said that he went, you know, to BSU and had a room by himself. It was one of the big things is having roommates.
Yep. You learn how to coexist.
You know, right. I got through it even without roommates and ended up with all the clothes I brought there.
You know, but, I mean, that is the college experience, and I don't know how they do it. Well, it's kind of like homeschooling. I mean, a kid needs social interaction.
I agree.
How does homeschooling work?
Well, and homeschooling, though, they're getting a ways now where they, you know, they like take PE classes and have socials and stuff with kids from other schools. So. But I don't get the whole online thing. I mean, I can see it if you're like, you know, 26 and you got a job you hate and you want to go to college and you're trying to, you know, to get ahead and you really don't have the time to drive out and go to classes and you want to take them when you can. I can understand that. But, man, missing out on the college experience.
Yeah, I think so, too. But like I say, why just Arizona State? And I wonder if they're hitting just this area. I mean, you know, they're hitting hard about it.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, it was University of Phoenix.
Well, I mean, I am totally against those.
Yeah, well, what do they call them?
They're just corporations.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Well, they're called for-profit colleges.
For-profit, yeah.
For-profit.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
You know,
brick-and-mortar colleges aren't for profit?
First of all, now, I get emails all the time. People are saying, why are you running commercials for this, or why are you not running commercials for this, blah, blah, blah. And they're acting like as if they're the same as records that we're playing on a top 40 station. It's not quite the same thing. records on a top 40 station, you play whatever's popular or whatever you think people would like to listen to.
Right.
Commercials, you play what people buy. They purchase time, and then they run whatever they want for the most part.
And we're controlled by a corporation, and yeah, a lot of times there are corporate buys.
But the deal is,
probably like this Arizona State thing.
If somebody said, why are you running ads for Arizona State and not, you know, Idaho State or something like that, I'd say, well, because Arizona State bought some ads and Idaho State didn't. That's it.
And Chris, you know, and I have no control.
And it's not like we're going out there and censoring some ads and allowing others. I mean, you buy the time. It's yours for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the exception of things that we're not allowed to broadcast at all, like something that's maybe obscene or a little too sexual or something of that nature.
Yeah. But, we have no control over the commercials.
Yeah. But somebody, you
they
know,
pay
but
the people, bills.
But
we love them.
But people even say, like, you ran that last commercial four times that hour. Yeah, I know, because they paid for that. It's not because we thought it was a tremendously swell idea.
Yeah.
We'd probably be like music programmers if we could, and everything just runs, with a certain amount of separation. But that's not how these things work.
Phone's Friday. Let's go to Glenn of Caldwell. Glenn, good morning.
Well, good morning to you, Paul and Chris.
Hey, Glenn.
Interesting discussion this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. I have a whole lot of things, but I'll just try to be brief.
Okay.
About your last topic, education, the broad field of education. I wonder how it would be if we abolished the tax funding of all education except for military. And we go back to the way it used to be. Mm-hmm. I learned from my parents, and I learned from the neighbors, farming, haying, planting, cultivating, and joined the Navy. And I started at the bottom, and I learned what my supervisor did.
Yeah. You know, go ahead, Glenn. Sorry.
He learned what his supervisor did. And that happened for 25 years, and I never did get to the top, but I learned on the job is my point. And we have too much taxation for education, and our culture isn't getting any better.
I agree with a lot that you're saying, but say if Chris was interested in engineering or I was interested in medicine, that's something you can't learn from your parents unless they're engineers or doctors.
And I didn't say learn from your parents. I said learn what you learn from your parents, and then you learn on the job. And where do doctors learn? They learn from other doctors.
Mm-hmm. I've heard parents that say, well, my kid's gotten to sixth grade so far, and they haven't even taught him how to read. Well, why haven't you taught him how to read? You know, that's what I would ask the mother or the father.
Exactly, and we still haven't got away from that.
Yeah.
Our culture isn't as good as it was 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was there 50 years ago, and I don't know if it was because I was young or whatever, but it seemed a lot less complicated back in those days.
Well, the broad comment I have in that regard is the knowledgeable, whatever they're knowledgeable about, tend to take advantage of the lesser knowledgeable.
Well, then shouldn't the lesser knowledgeable get educated so they would know as much as the knowledgeable?
It can never happen, though.
Sure it can. Sure
well,
it can.
Everybody cannot know as much as everybody else. That's my
Well, yeah.
Response.
Well, everybody can't have the same IQ,
yeah,
but I
there
think
you are.
I yeah. think you can study it as long as anybody else can. So.
Well, how do billionaires get to be billionaires? Because they took advantage of the lesser knowledgeable. They invested in the it's a sophisticated slavery system.
See, well, you're kind of arguing against yourself now, Glenn.
Go ahead, Glenn. Sorry.
What time? Yes. Well, there's a lot to the topics this morning. You got a big subject. I like it, and I think somebody else should come in now. Thank you.
All right. Good stuff.
Now,
thanks, Glenn.
When this nation was first formed, you could go to school, but you paid for school. Okay.
Yep.
And then later we had public schools, but they weren't compulsory. If your parents wanted you to go to public school and learn something, you could. That was fantastic.
Right.
But still, there were private schools. And even later when it became compulsory, where you had to go to school whether your parents wanted you to or not, it was designed so that nobody would skip school simply because they were too poor to go to school. All right. Then, you know, a lot of, but you could still opt to go to a private school. At that time, they had gotten rid of homeschooling, but they've brought that back and just consider that to be more of a private school now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, your education essentially is up to you and your family, but the government stepped in for people who wouldn't be able to afford the access to books, the access to learning, the access to lectures and things like that, and gave that to everyone to meet at least certain minimum standards.
Yeah, I'm surprised the older I get, at how many people basically never went to school
mm-hmm.
these days. Not in the old days.
Yeah.
These days. It's 9:46. All right. We are back. KBOI News Time, 9:50. Let's get right to the phones. Let's go to Steve of Boise. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. You know, education is a great topic to talk about. And to me, a teacher is a facilitator. I got my teaching certificate in the early 80s, and both my kids just turned out phenomenal because I was teaching them as a parent.
Sure, and
from
you
the
should.
Time they were born,
yep.
As we all should. You know, and when you've got, if you don't have a parent at home and you're a latchkey kid, I think you go through life kind of lost, wondering what your role really is as a child.
I'd agree with that.
And, you know, a parent really sets the tone for education.
Yeah.
And if the kids are going to be wise, you better have wise parents.
It certainly helps.
It certainly helps. And that family touching that child at an early age is really what makes the difference. And, you know, the leadership of this country should realize that not everybody's going to be smart. Not everybody wants to be president. Not everybody's going to be president.
Absolutely.
Some of us just want to get through life and enjoy it.
And be happy and enjoy our families and, you know, go fishing.
You know, contentment is something that is very elusive. And I don't care how much money you have, it can still be elusive.
Absolutely. All right,
hey,
good stuff.
You guys have a great Friday. Good sunshiny day out
yep.
there.
Thanks, Steve. Let's go to Bob of Meridian. Bob, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. I just kind of like to dispute Rich's idea of the unemployment rate.
Okay.
Okay, the real unemployment rate, if you really take in all the people in the United States, is the U6. And in 2008, it was about, at the end of 2008, it was about 10%. And right now, depending on what figures you're looking at, because really it's just a guess at this point in time, is about between 10 and 12. The problem with Rich's philosophy is there's more people in the U6 now than there were in 2008 because the population grew about 15 million people. So, you know, he can't, it's not apples to apples when he's saying, oh, look at the unemployment rate, it's really down. Well, they're leaving out probably, I don't know, millions of people that aren't even looking for work or are underemployed, wish they had full-time and working part-time.
Yeah, you know, and labor statistics are so hard. Like, you know, they added 180,000 jobs this month, and like you said, and that's a lot more since 2007. Well, there are a lot more people now than there were in 2007. So, I mean, you can use that for and against you. I find labor stats very confusing because it seems like people on each side use the stats that they want to use to dispute the others, and you end up going, what?
You know, another thing that he was saying is about the Trump saying all these people voted illegally.
Yeah.
Well, one kid in, I think it was the University of Virginia, turned in 20 ballots for dead people. They just caught him. You could look it up in the news. But he turned in 20 ballots for dead people. Now, look at all the kids.
But you just said they caught him.
Huh?
You just said they caught him
after the fact.
But Rich is saying, oh, they can't have all these people that voted illegally. Well, one kid on his own turned in 20 ballots.
But they caught him.
I don't know how they caught him because he happened to turn in a ballot for a judge's dead mom. And one of the people that was counting ballots said, hey, I know she's dead.
That's a good catch.
Well, I can't remember the exact number, but in there's like some place I can't remember. There's 186,000 dead people still on the voting rolls, but none of them voted.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, they're still on the rolls, but right. I know they can't vote; they're dead. But nobody illegally voted. I just don't understand why you just. I mean. I had to show ID when I voted. Everybody should have to.
Yeah.
No question. Thanks for your call, Bob. Have a nice weekend. WOI News Time, 9:55. That'll do it for today. That'll do it for the first week of December. Coming up next, something to think about with Mike Rogers, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ. Check him out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org. See you Monday.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
Boys, girls, and other? The popular dating app Tinder now allows users to choose between nearly 37 different genders. With Tinder's new app update, users now have three options: man, woman, and a button for more. When you click the More button, it leads to an open field where users can input anything they want or pick from 37 autofill suggestions. The additional genders include options such as agender, gender fluid, androgynous, pangender, non-binary, gender questioning, transgender, and transsexual. Some make sense, but I'm not even sure what most of them mean. Tinder CEO Sean Rad said, "Gender is not binary. It's really about how people see themselves and how they feel. I must admit, this leaves me, well, confused. Feelings are important for sure, but it seems like genetics should matter as well. Dating is scary enough with one option. I am not sure what on earth I would do with 37. Glad I'm not on the market. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers."